In fact, I was present in the hall when Mr. Professor was actually halfway down into his speech. And Professor was trying to explain to this audience as to why globalization, the way it is practiced, was not working in India. My other presentation will be to tell you why globalization is not working even in America. The fundamental assumption of globalization is it is a success. We don't critique it. We assume that it is a success. We assume that we have to, if we have to be successful, we have to follow the globalization model. So we don't discuss, we don't debate, we don't actually critique it at all. Take it for granted that this is a model that we have to follow. And in the process, globalization as a subject becomes highly undebated, uncritiqued, ununderstood, misunderstood, misrepresented by everybody. It is like six blind men looking at the elephant and each one trying to define it, the elephant, in his own way. Now, what is this globalization all about? It is a term, if you type it in Google with globalization, Z-A-T-I-O-N, you will hit more number of web pages than globalization with S-A-T-I-O-N. Even in the English language, in the word that you use as globalization, there is a difference. The English spoken by the American is different from the English spoken by the Englishman, which is different from the English spoken by the Australians, Zimbabweans, or the New Zealanders. Now the vista of Windows has even brought the Indian English. So there are so many differences in the English language. But we are not concerned about that. We are not into the philosophy of globalization. We are not into the negative aspects of globalization, which Mr. Professor has spoken very heavily today. And I will be on the other end of globalization. The success, the seeming success of globalization is its failure. That is the idea which I will present to you today. What is the seeming success of globalization? The seeming success of globalization is America. I am not going to do any American bashing. In fact, my objective in my life, if at all I have one, is to save America from this globalization. To understand this globalization, you require a bit of understanding of what a small pawn shop owner is doing. If I ask a bunch of students in a school or a college, wherever I go for my lectures, even to chambers of commerce, and I ask them, sir, between America and India, which is a rich country and which is a poor country? Between America and China, which is a rich country, which is a poor country? The answer is China or India is a poor country, America is a rich country. I am sure many of you in the audiences would also have the same perspective or same idea about America and same idea about India or China, as the case may be. But in our common language, a rich person is a person who pays or gives or donates or lends money to the poor person. And the poor person is a person who receives or gets or begs or loans money from the rich person. This is the common definition of a common man. But it is exactly the opposite in the globalization sphere. Meaning, it is India, China, Japan, South Korea, Thailand, Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, UAE, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, you name every country, they are lending money to America. They are lending money to America at the rate of $2 billion, that is for 8,000, 9,000 crores every day. And if these people don't lend money to America, America will collapse. That is globalization today. It is the rich country which is getting money from the poor country, and the poor country which are lending to the rich country, and that goes on by the appellation of globalization. And in fact, when this fundamental paradigm is put before people, they are shocked. But the fact of the matter is, America requires something around $800 to $1,000 billion to survive, and that capital, it gets it from the rest of the world. How does it work? This requires some explanation. America is like a huge finance company which wants to cheat. So how does a finance company which wants to cheat works? It will set up a fantastic office. It will have a 40 by 40 reception with a very beautiful receptionist. So when you enter the reception, they will say, sir, Swarna Ganga scheme, Swarna Lakshmi scheme, all these schemes, 25% rate of interest, 30% rate of interest, and you will be dazzled, just like this light is dazzling my eyes. You will be dazzled and you cannot see anything in front of you, and you will be virtually forced to lend your money into that company, and the owner of that company will actually come in a Mercedes Benz. He will not give you time. He will say, I don't have time, more than 2 minutes. And you will think that this man is so rich, obviously he is making money by the tons, and you poor guy, you have put 5 lakh rupees of your pension or your provident fund that you want to park it with him so that it comes to 7 lakhs or 8 lakhs at the end of 2 years or 3 years. So you park with the money very easily, looking at the credit worthiness of the person, the grandiose posture that he makes before you. You don't look into the Mercedes-Benz RC book that is hypothecated to Canara Bank. You don't look into the reception's hall, rent not paid for more than 6 months. What you do, you give it to that fellow. With that fellow, he will write the EMI for that Mercedes-Benz for that month. With that money, he will pay the rent for that office. You are blinded by its credit worthiness. America is like that. When you look at America, they only show their credit worthiness. And they show their credit worthiness in not only by building their infrastructure. They will be the first to go to the moon. They will have to do it. It will not only be that they will have to go to the moon. They will write the rules of the WTO. They will write the rules of IMF. They will write the rules of World Bank. It is not that they are doing it for anything else. It is for their own self-preservation. They are got into a black hole. And if they don't do it, they are doomed. If they correct it, they are damned. This is the problem of America. I will explain to you. Now look at it. What is happening with this? Our total GDP, suppose it is 100 rupees. We spend 68 rupees, consume 68 rupees out of it, and save 32 rupees. China saves 50. Singapore saves 50. Japan is around 15. Korea is around 20, 22. Various countries in the East Asia save 20, 22, 50, 45, whatever be their various demographic profile allows them, they save. So that is why they have capital. What does America do? Out of 100 rupees it earns or produces, it spends 107 rupees. That is the spending of America. So what happens? Where does this money come from? How does it manage? It is very simple. All of us are only savings economy, so nobody is a great consuming economy. Of course, I will come to the distinction at a later part of my presentation. But suffice you can state, the whole of Asia, which is an export oriented economy, is a savings economy. And the $300 billion reserve that the RBI holds today represents our collective savings in one form or the other. China has got a saving of 1.6 trillion, Japan close to 1 trillion. The world has got $4 trillion worth of reserves. Students of accountancy will tell you, if somebody has got a credit, somebody will have a debit. Who is that somebody who has got this debit? If I have $4 trillion worth of reserve, who is it that has actually borrowed my reserve? America has borrowed this reserve. America is borrowing, as I told you, at the rate of $800 billion every year. So it is going on consuming, we are going on exporting to America. America is taking our goods, giving us dollar bills. We are not consuming the dollar bills, we are again giving it back to America so that America can spend it. So in a way, we are working for America, and also funding America's consumption. I am sure the audience will be able to appreciate the fundamental distortion of the global economy. One fellow goes on consuming, you pay him, and you also work for his consumption. Only mother and father will do like this. We are doing this for America, not only we. China is doing. Japan is doing. Asia is doing. Latin America is doing. Africa is doing. Why is it so? It is because the dollar is held to be the global currency. So what is this dollar that all of us so crucially revere? Why is it that we are not challenging this dollar? It has got historical reasons. During the World War II, America did not enter the war. Only two major countries did not enter the war. One was Switzerland, where all the politicians kept their black money, so they did not want to attack Switzerland. The other one was America, which did not enter the war till the fag end. And when it entered, it dropped the bombs and settled the issue. But when the war was fought between countries, they gave America gold and purchased gun. They took steel for gold. And after the war was over, the American dollar was backed by gold. It was backed at the rate of $35 per ounce of gold. So Americans will never issue more dollar than the gold reserve that they had. In a way, it was a gold standard. So if you give $35 to the American treasury, they will be bound to give you 1 troy ounce of gold. Just like our milkman who will mix water for every liter of milk that he supplies, Americans started printing more notes thinking who will find it out. So slowly they started printing more notes. Then one day there was only water, there was no milk. The French understood that the Americans are cheating. So they went and gave dollars and said, give me gold. They gave some gold. Then the Italians started, then the British started. Then they realized, if this goes on, they will have no gold. Then dollar will become a tissue paper. And that is what they did on 15th August 1971. Very strangely, it also coincides with our Independence Day. President Nixon said, from now on, don't ask gold. Let us all believe that we have gold. My father's generation should have put to an end to this controversy in 1971. At that time, it would have been a minor surgery. Today, it has taken a cancerous growth. And today, what we are doing, we are still believing America has some value behind the dollar. And we are going on exporting goods to our America. What is America giving? Only treasury notes, nicely printed. And we are doing namaskaram and keeping it in the puja room. What you will get if you give back this treasury notes to America? You will get potato. This is the fundamental assumption of globalization on which today the so-called dollar value has become a huge crisis. What is China doing? China is giving America enormous amount of goods. Americans have become so lazy. They are in the post-modern stage of development. They may perhaps make some aircrafts, high technology, nanotechnology items. Broomsticks they will not make. Pipes they will not make. Bulbs they will not make. This mic they will not make. Everything is imported from China. China is happy to give goods to America. America is giving dollar to China. On one hand, China's reserves is going up. One hand, America's debt is going up. Both are like two drunkards. Have you seen two drunkards walking? Each one will put his arm around the other. They will stagger, but they will not fall. Each one will be pulling the counterbalancing. And one day when they fall, both will fall. This is the risk that is happening to the global economy today. It is the American consumption that is detonating the global economy. It is the Chinese supply of goods to America that is detonating the global economy. So it is a very, very precarious game. And today IMF is scratching his head and now saying, we have to counterbalance all these things and we have to do something. What is this something? I will explain. Those of you who will recall, in 1997 there was an East Asian crisis. And today we are actually paying the price for the East Asian crisis. What happened there? America gave small doses of money to this East Asian crisis. These people grew. Whenever you have money comes in, automatically you will buy some assets, whether it is scooter, house, car, bungalow, something you will buy, it will grow. And the Western economists, when Asian economies grew, said, oh, these guys are growing. It is a miracle. Look at the arrogance. When I say somebody has got a house in Koramangala or some very posh area of Bangalore, oh, that guy has he purchased a house. It's a miracle, pa. What does it mean? I am not happy about his growth. I am only jealous. I am saying this guy is incapable of growing. Now this guy has got a house. It is impossible to believe. That is the appellation that was given to the Asian growth in 1997. Michael Kamathesu, who was the IMF chief at that time, went on to say that these economies are performing excellently. This was in June, July 1997. Then suddenly everybody withdrew money. The currencies collapsed. And East Asian countries lost 30-40 years of their saving within days. Who did this? Why did they do it? Questions that have not been answered till now. Who were behind all these things? Was there a political motive behind all these things? Nobody has answered these questions. It still remains. And Mahathir Mohamad, who was the Prime Minister of Malaysia at that time, was very clear. He says these Americans have conspired against East Asian growth. He's very clear. But after this crisis, where the currency, which was up to a particular level for various countries, tumbled vis-a-vis the dollar, these countries understood there is a virtue for even a weak currency. Supposing today the rupee is 40, for some reason it falls to 80 rupees. You may find exporting a lot of goods very easily. You can export virtually anything if the rupee falls to 80. And you don't have to bother about consuming in your country because you are all prima facie a savings economy. So East Asian countries could afford to devalue their currencies, and they engaged in a game of competitive devaluation. China will devalue, Malaysia will devalue, India will devalue, Japan will devalue. Everybody devalued their currency vis-a-vis the dollar. Dollar was still powerful. So they started exporting to America, which was the only consuming country in the world. Why did America consume? That is a story by itself. Americans today have lost what is called as the institution of family. Male lives with female. It is not family. It is called live-in relationship. 50% of children know their father or mother, not their both of them. There is a new term in American family life, which is called stepfather or stepmother or stepsister or stepbrother. That is, you have only one of the father or mother common, and the other person is somebody else who has left over from a different family and joined this. This destruction of family meant consumption. Whenever in many of my colleagues who would start their practice and do very well, immediately I would find him inviting us to Taj, inviting us to Sheraton, and say, come, let us have dinner, let us have lunch. He will just show his credit card and be spending. Within 2 years he will get married. Immediately I will ask him, come, let us go to Park Sheraton and have dinner. No sir, we will not even go to Udupi hotel. Why this changeover? Sir, I have taken insurance, sir. I have to pay insurance premium this month. Very big burden, sir. Immediately the mindset changes over once you are into a family system. Family is such a big institution. and has so much profound impact on the national economics that no economic books even talks about famine. Such is the importance. Because the more the important it is, we will never discuss. Now coming to the issue, as American family system collapsed, there were people who were into mindless and reckless spending. And America had a purpose also. If it hadn't spent, it will not get money. And merely to take over the capital of the world, it was into mindless, reckless spending. So all of us transferred our money to America. Now America's net debt is in excess of $5 trillion today. Next year it will be 6. Next year it will be 7. How long can it go on? You will be shocked and surprised. On March 28, 2006, the American Federal Reserve has said, from now on, we will not disclose how much dollar is floating in the world. This is called M3 figures. It is like a finance company saying, from today onwards, we will not disclose the amount of our debts, or we will not disclose our balance sheet. That is the position of America. Asian Development Bank has warned its members and said, from now on, be careful about the dollar, it can collapse anytime. It is like a promissory note of a defunct finance company. But the world is addicted to dollars. World is habituated to dollars. There is no alternative to dollar. So all of us trade in dollar. So a gold, which was $250 per ounce, is now $900. Because when the price of currency goes down, the price of commodity will go up. It is like a seesaw. Nothing, you cannot have a linear or what shall I say, a fixed percentage of commodity vis-a-vis a dollar or any other currency. The value of currency goes down means the value of commodity will go up. $25 a barrel of crude is now close to 100. You take silver, tin, copper, palladium, uranium, nickel, you take anything, including sand. Everything has gone up vis-a-vis the dollar, except the dollar. Rupee has gone up. Australian dollar has gone up. New Zealand dollar has gone up. Swiss franc has gone up. Euro has gone up. Yen has gone up. Pakistan rupee only has not gone up. That can be one good news. Bangladesh taka has not gone up. Baki everything else has gone up against the dollar. Chinese yuan has gone up. Of course, it may not have gone up in all in same proportion. Some has gone up by 150%, some at 3000%, some at 15%. But dollar is sinking. Look at what is happening now. Americans, to boost their consumption, what did they do? Anybody who came to the Bank of America in America, any financial institution, and said, I am so and so, who are you, sir? I am a server in McDonald's. He may be drawing a salary of $1,500. But they said, if you simply save $15,000, we are ready to give you $2,00,000 loan, build a house, no problem, no question, no verification, no phone call, no chartered accountant certificate, nothing is required. You just take loan, only thing you pay, 6% interest. This fellow said, okay. And first 3 years, pay only 0.5%. Next 3 years, pay 3%. Then pay 6%. The fellow was happy, loan sanctioned. This is called mortgage loan in America. Millions of loans have been sanctioned. Out of our money. It is not their money. If it is their money, it would have been far, far more prudent and diligence would have been ensured. But what they have done, it is because our money, they can afford to be reckless. They are given to everybody. Today, what the world is facing is a subprime crisis. This is a subprime crisis. You are given to substandard people, knowing very well that they don't have the ability to pay your principal or the interest or both. And now Citibank is writing $18 billion. Only 3 months. UBS is written $4 billion. And they don't have money. Look at it, they don't have money. And where are they getting the money from? They have asked Abu Dhabi Bank to fund Citibank. Now I told somebody, Citibank will become a subsidiary of Abu Dhabi Commercial Bank. This is going to happen. Because Arabs are sitting on tons of money because oil is at $90 per barrel. And cost of producing one barrel of oil is not more than 10. $80 per barrel they are making profit. And there is something around 2.5 million barrels sold every day. So you can understand the money that the Arabs are making every day. And they are sitting on tons of money. So they are just giving $7 billion and they are taking some huge share in Citibank. Look, this is what is happening. This voracious consumption which dazzled us for 10 years, 15 years. Americans are worried about it. Americans are petrified about it. Today, if you take Economist, on June 23rd, the cover story was sovereign wealth funds. What does it mean? It talks about how these countries which are having these reserves running into several billion dollars are not only now investing in American treasury bonds for 2%, 3%, they have thought some more devious plan. They have decided to take over companies in the stock market. Supposing if I have $44 billion, this is the price for which Microsoft is trying to pay and get up Yahoo. Chinese government will just give it as a tips and say, come on. Because it is having $1.7 trillion. Microsoft, a wholly owned subsidiary of Chinese government. This could happen. So the cover story in Economist was how countries are invading America and taking up American companies through their sovereign wealth fund, through their reserves. And the cartoon was very telling. You have seen these war helicopters and dropping bombs. Instead of bombs, they put gold. When they want to invest in our companies, we have to open and show what is called as foreign direct investment. You please come take over 49%, 51%, 74%, 100%. Our people agreed. But tell me, I don't want anything else. Is there a discussion on sovereign wealth funds in this country? When we want to invest in America and take over American company, no, no, sir, not agreeable. It is Security and Strategic Investment Act of America is coming. Today there is an act in America. Whether somebody can take over some other company, whether you can invest into America or not, they are going to debate it. Look at the paradigms. World is world without walls. WWW means world without walls. This is how we were taught for 15 years. You can travel to America, you can come back. Money will go, money doesn't have color. Bullshit. Everything has come to a total halt. From 65 to 90, people were talking about the collapse of communism. And when people thought, our communists, our socialist friends used to laugh. How can communism fall? You can't even think about it. But on 9/11, that is 9th of November, the Berlin Wall was broken and communism collapsed like a pack of cards. In Russia, they didn't even have bread and you have to stand in the queue for 48 hours to get a loaf of bread. That was Russia. Believe me, you can safely take a bet on the fall of capitalism the way it is practiced in America. It will not happen tomorrow. It will not happen day after. But I don't give you a guarantee beyond 72 hours. It could happen the day after next. Because fall of America is very certain the way it is being practiced. All that it would require is one trader to sell a few trillion dollars short on the dollar. Immediately people will panic today. If you sell dollars, it is sufficient. But the problem is, if you sell dollars, you are going to be the loser because you are owning the dollar. It is India which is owning the dollar, not America. It is China which is owning the dollar, not America. Japan which is owning the dollar, not America. So, America is not bothered about dollar, we are all bothered about the dollar. It is like a bank If it gives 5,000 crores to a person, then the person does not have to think about the project. It is the bank that has to worry about the project. Because if the project fails, then he will not get 5,000 crores. The man will be happy. He will say, I am totally stressed, I am playing golf. But the branch manager will be taking physical verification of all the stocks in that company. The bank manager will daily call him and say, sir, are you okay, sir? I heard yesterday you had cold, sir. Why? Because the bank's money is there. It is not this fellow's money. Up to borrowing only, the project has to be owned by the entrepreneur. Once he has borrowed money from the bank, he can be happy. Likewise, America has not bothered about fall or rise of the dollar anymore. It has outsourced the sovereign function to countries. You defend, if you want, you defend, otherwise go to hell. Now this is the burden of all of us, that we will have to take care of the dollar. Look at what is globalization happening, how it is going up, and is this what we thought was globalization? So what is happening? If you don't deal with dollars, dollar will collapse. I will explain to you how dangerous game this dollar has become. If an Arab wants to sell oil to an Indian, we cannot buy oil straight away. It has to be traded on both sides of Atlantic. There are two oil exchanges. One is in New York, one is in London. You can buy officially oil only in these two exchanges. For which the Arab will get paid in dollars from the exchange, and I will have to pay dollar to the exchange. Meaning there is a constant demand for dollars. Artificial. And most of the commodity stocks, commodity goods which are traded in the Chicago exchange are also traded in dollar. Creating an artificial demand for dollar. Saddam Hussein understood this. What did Saddam Hussein do? He was given food for oil program. He could sell his oil and buy food for the well-being of his people. He said, I will have to sell oil, I will sell oil. But I will not sell oil in dollars. I will sell oil denominated in euro, in yen or something. And he sold, began to sell. Americans said, this is weapons of mass destruction. A country which cannot make scooter, can it make an atom bomb? A country which is so backward that it doesn't have any great technology was accused of creating nuclear weapons, and almost 4 years Americans have occupied Iraq. They have not found even a single gram of weapons of mass destruction. The weapons of mass destruction was very clear right from day one. It was Saddam's insistence to deal with oil in euros. So what has globalization become? A Protestant country invades a Muslim country and hangs its leader on a Vaikuntha Ekadashi day. So that is globalization. So beyond that, nothing has happened. So to defend the dollar, you require American army. It is the only country in the history of mankind where the army defends the currency. If you take American army, the respect for dollar will come down. So American army daily, it has to do something. Somalia, 2 bombs. Rwanda, 1 bomb. Something or the other. Hey, I will attack you. Hey, you keep quiet. Like one dada in a mohalla, it has to go on flexing its muscle. Otherwise, nobody will respect dollar. So Iran understood this. Iran said, I will start a separate oil exchange. Why should I sell oil in to you guys in New York? I will have a small island here and I will start a New York oil exchange in Iran. And I will ask anybody to pay any currency except dollar. Hey, you are having weapons of mass destruction. We will invade you. That whole thing is going on, and Iranians have postponed the decision for opening this oil exchange. Until such time, invasion of Iran is also postponed. And the day the exchange is opened, Americans will invade Iran. Poor Manishankar Iyer doesn't know all these things. He is going on blabbering something, Iran pipeline and other things. That is not the issue. The issue is the oil exchange. The moment oil exchange comes in, they will go and bomb Tehran. They will hang this guy, whosoever is there. Preferably on a Vaikuntha Ekadashi day. Let that fellow go to hell by heaven straight away. So this is the problem today we are facing. So how do we deal with this? This is the end game of globalization has come. The people are worried. When I wrote a couple of articles on the Rediff and also my book, economists are writing to me from America and saying, "Sir, how are you bothered about this?" I said, "We have to be bothered about it because our $300 billion is with you. Otherwise, we would not be bothered. If America, we are not bothered about France. We are not bothered about Argentina because our money is not there. If America goes with it, it will wipe 50 years of global development. That is why we are also worried about America. So to save America is becoming an important challenge. Now, banks are writing off, as I told you, under prime, the subprime crisis. So on 22nd January or third week of January, there was a huge fall in the stock market because banks were all declaring losses after losses after losses. So American Fed intervened and reduced the interest rates by 0.75% and followed it up by a further reduction of 0.5% on 30th of January. 1.25% interest was reduced in a matter of 10 days. As they reduce interests, they are finding it difficult. Even that interest nobody pays. Today the American interest rate is 3%. So next month they may reduce it to 2, 1, then what will happen? They have given money to people who just went on buying houses. If our places, a man who earns something around 10,000 rupees may have an ambition of buying a house for say 10 lakhs maximum, 15 lakhs. But he will never aspire to buy a house worth 15 crores. This is what literally happened. Though I am slightly exaggerating for the purpose of this audience, but this is what literally happened. People didn't have money to pay the EMI. So the bank said, "Don't pay. Next quarter." How long can you go on? Because bank has to have money. And the money from the outside world was not sufficient. Because everybody knows dollar is a tissue paper. And you are reducing interest rates. Once you reduce interest rates, the currency value will fall because its ability to attract money from outside is gone. India, it is 10% today. If you put in a bank, you will get 9.5% 1 year, 1.5 years. America, if you put, you will get 3%. Where will you put? You will put only in India. Money is rushing towards India. It is rush in China, it is still worse. It is 12-13% banks are offering. Money is rushing to all these economies, and so the currency is further collapsing. Either they will save their banks or their dollar. They cannot do both now. Have you seen this chess game? Sometimes you position the your queen or your horse in such a way that it knocks off the other fellow's queen or the horse. He has a choice. It is either checkmate or doomsday. That is what America is facing today. It is very, very difficult for them to come out of this mess. They are completely unaware as to what is to be done. So just like in 1991, the Prime Minister of Russia was one Mr. Gaidar. He said, "I thought my country was a great country, but after the fall of Gorbachev, I went and found out that Russia was like an aircraft with no pilot in the cockpit." That is his words. Today, America is like that. They don't have any clue what to do, how it is to be done. Where is the solution? Can you say from tomorrow onwards, Americans must spend less? For to do that, they must necessarily have one institution called the family. Can they say from tomorrow onwards, everybody will stay with their respective spouse? They can't say that. So you can't have domestic savings. Okay. Till date they were able to raise their interest rates and capture savings from other countries. Now they can't do that because your banks are collapsing. Otherwise banks will totally collapse. You are given loan to everybody. Their interest rates, they are not able to pay. Even teaser rates, they are not able to pay. So you have to reduce interest rates. So if you reduce interest rates, money will not go to America. Money will come to countries like India. After all, even in America, even in London, even in Europe, it is not the Protestant Christian community that saves, it is the Indian community that saves, it is the Hispanics that save. Even in America, actually America's total saving is -7%. If the Indians are not there, it will be -9%. If the Mexicans are not there, it will be -10%. They are actually reducing it to -7%. That is the collapse that is happening before them. And they cannot stop consuming. They have to have that fuel guzzlers, they have to have this huge highways, they have to have all this paraphernalia that goes on in this name of grand American dream. Can an American live in a very Spartan way? Can he eat two bananas and live? He cannot. Two bananas he will waste out of every four bananas for some reason or the other. That is America today. So you look at the whole issue. Now what is that we have to do? What is that we need to provide as a solution? Ours, we have a system called 5-year plan. It is prepared by the Planning Commission. We are now in the 11th plan. Last year, China also started the 11th plan. And last year, both the countries gave the draft of the respective 11th plan. I had the occasion to read both the Chinese 11th plan draft and the Indian 11th plan draft. The first draft to the 11th plan in our case was the 11th draft to the first plan. It was as simple as that. Same thing, old, what was written in Nehru's time was copied. India is a poor country. India is a developing country. India is an agrarian country. India has to have the poor social capital. India's primary health structure is poor. Roads are poor. Infrastructure is poor. Power is not there. All these issues that what you see in that newsreel of any cinema, whenever you go, they will first put all this bad news. Like that it was going on then. Little realizing these jokers are there in the Planning Commission to actually rectify all these things. For 11 into 5, 55 years, nothing has been done. But look at the Chinese. What did they do? There is a minister called Ma Kai, which is equivalent to our Montek Singh Ahluwalia. There was a question by somebody from there to Mr. Professor here. And he was very clear that whether globalization is a success or not, and what is the alternative. Ma Kai has provided that alternative. Disengage with the global economy. Not that because somebody has said, the thought is there. The alternative thoughts are emerging. Ma Kai says, if we go on like this, we will be going on producing for America, America will give us dollars, we will give the dollar back to America and our foreign exchange surplus will go up. How long will this go on? We need to improve our consumption. We need to have more of consumption in India, in China. So what should be done? So he has put in the entire paper is on how to improve consumption in China. There was one guy called Shinawatra Thaksin in Thailand. He was ousted by a coup. In 2002, he prepared a paper. After he became the Prime Minister, he asked, what do we do? Sir, we do exports, sir. Whom do we export? America, sir. What do we do with the money? No, sir, we give it back to America and we are happy, sir. This is what the answer his bureaucrats gave him. He said, stop this nonsense. Export, let it happen. We will not be an export-driven economy. We will be an internal consumption-driven economy. And there was a coup of that fellow. Is there a coincidence? I would like to know. But be that as it may. There was yet another economist, Jim Lay and one another guy, Joseph Lin. They work for Asian Development Bank. They produced a document and they have said all these export-oriented economies time and again are not reaping the benefits because export-driven economies are like a hierarchical model. Only the top fellows in the economy are able to export and gain the benefits, like what professor said about the 20-80%. This is what is happening. No country is actually benefiting out of these exports in a substantial way. Yes, there are benefits. There are benefits to globalization the way it is understood today, there is a certain set of people who are benefiting. But what about the 80% who are not beneficiaries, who don't fall within the ambit of globalization, who are not in a position to even produce anything for their own consumption, who don't have any skills? I am reminded of the French Revolution. If you don't have the bread, eat the cake. Now that is what we are telling them. You go and tell one fellow that, sir, what do? I am a farmer. Oh, give the land and tomorrow you join Infosys. Become a software programmer. Fellow is an anguta chap. And you go and tell him, oh, software is booming. To whom it is booming? To IITians, to chartered accountants, to lawyers. But the farmers, how does it care? How does he care? He doesn't know even what is a computer. And we are telling him, we have brought futures and option trade in sugar, rice, wheat, dal. You can sell everything through your computer. This fellow doesn't have electricity there. And this is how we are fooling us. And every single economic journal which is corrupting the young minds is to give a wrong picture of the facts that are prevalent in India. I went to my village a couple of weeks back. The people are telling me, sir, what is your problem? Is stock market your problem? I asked them, no sir, bus varla. I said, dollar crisis is your problem? No sir, power varla. Sir, is American Bush, this Lady Clinton and this, what is his name? Obama. Who will come? Sir, bus is not coming. Once it comes, I will tell you. No, their problems are totally different. We think India is 20 kilometers of Bangalore, 20 kilometers of Chennai. In Chennai, Mount Road, there are a lot of IT companies. You walk 20 kilometers to Ambattur. There it is all industrial hub. There their problem is not rupee appreciation, all these things. Labor, strike, the labor commissioner coming and taking bribe every day, excise commissioner coming and taking bribe, VAT official, VAT nobody understands. These are their problems. You walk another 20 kilometers. There will be one fellow in one lion cloth singing some old Tamil songs, not even bothered about anything. And he will be talking about paddy prices. Just within 40 kilometers, you have Tamil Nadu in three different shapes. And if I go and talk to him about labor laws or commissioner of sales tax or something like that, he's not bothered. He has a different agenda. He says, water varla, sir. Pesticides, sir. Bank lend loan varla. These are his problems. And we think that there is one word, globalization, that can take care of all the three set of people. We have to take care of all the three people. We cannot say one is important, the other. I'm not saying that take care of the farmer alone. You take care also of the farmer. That is my submission. So coming back to what Markai did something revolutionary. And that is now the Chinese are putting into place. They are appreciating the rupee, their yuan consciously. They were pegged to 8.28 to a dollar for 10 years. Now they have slowly started appreciating. Now it is 7.25 or something like that. And now they have said, by this year we will touch 7. We are going like this. That means dollar is collapsing vis-a-vis the yuan. Now let us take India. China's problem is it has no domestic consumption. Unlike us, remember, we are a consumption economy when we compare with China. We are a savings economy when we compare with America. That is our beauty. We don't fall into the genre of consumption. We don't fall into the genre of savings. Why is it so? Take January, Pongal, Makar Sankranti. Some bloody thing we spend. Next, February, nothing is there. February 14th, we will spend. Holi we will spend. Navaratri, 9 days we will spend. Sir, it is not 9 days, sir, it is actually 10 days. We will spend for 10 days. Why do we spend? There is a purpose in spending. There is a responsibility associated with spending. It is not that economy has to be intertwined only for imports for goods. A domestic consumer is as important as the domestic producer. That is what this grand concept of Swadeshi talks about. It is not merely to say, I will produce here and export somewhere. My consumer will be outside. No. My consumer also has to be in India. That is Swadeshi. My producer has to be in India. That has to be Swadeshi. So how do we do this? There are enormous documents available, and I will just tell you one instance how we fare badly in engaging the world vis-a-vis ourselves. If a good costs 75 rupees in a factory for exports to Singapore, it costs 100 rupees to buy the same good in India, the difference being excise duty and sales tax. Excise duty in India is 16%. The VAT is 12.5%. VAT is on top of the 16%, not plus. So altogether we pay around 31% as indirect taxes to the government to consume anything, whether it is a pin or whether it is a motor car. Nowhere in the world has the governments of the country charge such high levels of indirect taxes. But has government bothered about us? This is the only country which will recognize this goddess Lakshmi. What does goddess Lakshmi mean? We have to consume, but consume with responsibility. Whenever we give our daughters to as marriage to some other family, we'll first inquire, how is that family? Sir, he's a spendthrift, sir, don't give. Okay, we won't give. Another family, sir, miserly, sir, they will not spend, don't give. Both ways, society has its own norms. Even today in Bangalore or in Mumbai, if the Citibank fellow comes and knocks at the door for non-payment of credit card, it is a slur by the society on that family. Debt is not accepted in this country. But at the same time, you are supposed to spend. If you borrow money for the purpose of your daughter's marriage, it is accepted. Responsibility is there. If you borrow money for house construction, it is accepted. But if you borrow money for your motor car and you are not able to pay for it, society doesn't look at you very favorably. That is why in this country, debt is seen as one's dharma, and farmers commit suicide even today for non-payment of these debts. Nowhere in the world you will find this. That is the greatness of this country. In America, they will say, I have filed chapter 11 bankruptcy. That is regarded as a social status, as you have got a Mercedes-Benz. It is not here. Because you operate on a different plane. Because once you have not repaid your debt, it is seen something sinful in this country. It is not merely a question of debit and credit, payment and receipt. It is something more. So we have to reduce our excise duty. We have to give boost to our domestic consumption. Then what will happen to our savings? Don't worry about it. Because the Indian housewife will ensure that the savings will not only be 32 or 33% as it is today, it will go up further. Still the family institution is there. We don't have to worry much about the Indian economics. That will take care of Indian economics. That is why Mr. Chidambaram or Montek Singh or whosoever will follow him or whosoever were before him were not bothered about Indian economics, because the lady in the house is completely taking care of the house economics as well as national economics. That is the beauty of Indian economics. The feminine character of Indian economics balances between expenditure and consumption, between investment and saving, between spending and saving. All these things are absolutely matched. No household in this country will ever be bankrupt, except for exceptional circumstances. Nobody walks directly into bankruptcy knowing very well that they can't pay a 15 crore house EMI which falls to 15 lakhs with a 15,000 rupee salary. No house will do it. That is the beauty of the Indian system. So we need to boost consumption. If you boost consumption, you will give boost to Indian production. If you boost Indian production, you will give employment opportunities. Your cess, your all these things are all artificial things like steroids people take, no? They're steroids. These are all steroids. You are trying to look at shortcuts. Ideally, the whole thing should be like what the Chinese are now looking. We need to have a debate. I'm not saying that this is a thought that we have to follow just because Chinese have followed. No. We need to have extensive debate. We need to find out whether this model will be suitable. wherein we can allow more of domestic consumption. Unless you allow more of domestic consumption, you will have to depend on America. Whether you for technology, whether for finance capital, or whether you for consumption, if you depend on outsiders, you are going to be at risk. And that, in my view, is a comprehensive view about Swadeshi vis-a-vis the dollar crisis that we are facing. If we go on for another few years, we have to write off, today we have to write off around $200 billion, which we have put in America. If America goes belly up, 3 years later we may have $1 trillion, of which we may have parked $800 billion in America, that we may have to write off. So the choice is whether we have to write off today or a larger sum 5 years later. This is the choice we are confronting, and every nation is confronting these choices. Ladies and gentlemen, the ideal idea in an economic development would be to find out what suits us. Unfortunately, all economic textbooks are photocopied from outsiders, including spelling mistakes. Be that as it may, I only implore you to think and freshly debate what should be the model that it will be useful, or what will be functional in this country. And there is a model that is functional. There is no alternative to globalization. But the alternative to globalization is functional in India. It is globalization which is a foreigner in India. It is an intruder. It is only in the peripheral. But it has the power of the media. It has the power of the intelligentsia. It has the power of the chatting class. That is why it is looking so very spectacular. Just to remove this light, you will find out what it is. And you will find that India has its own self-balancing mechanism that will ensure that Indian economy is a sustainable economy. It may not have a spectacular growth as what it is. It will definitely be a long-lasting model. It has survived for 5,000 years, and if you follow this, it is another guarantee for another 5,000 years. Can you ever bet for next 50 days also? We cannot bet whether the dollar is going to survive at these rates. Thank you all for patience.